Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
It's 5:30, you're listening to Manx Radio, I'm Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme, half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Tonight, 92 new cases of COVID-19 in the island, including 10 in hospital, none in intensive care. Coming up, a second outbreak of avian flu in the island, plus ending the legal requirement to make COVID sufferers self-isolate is inevitable, says the Health Minister, and meatloaf is remembered by the Isle of Man.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
But first with the news headlines, here's Christian Jones.
92 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in the last 24 hours. 8 have been identified through a PCR test and 84 come from positive lateral flow reports. It brings the total number of active cases to 822. 10 people who have the virus are in Nobles Hospital, but none of them are in intensive care. Mandatory mask wearing on public transport and health and social care settings on the Isle of Man is also being scrapped. Government has confirmed there'll be no legal requirement to wear one as of tomorrow. The Department of Enterprise has been ordered to release information about whether or not the former chief minister benefited financially from COVID schemes as he owns multiple holiday cottages. The department initially rejected the request claiming exemptions, however the Information Commissioner has overturned the decision. A second outbreak of avian influenza has been confirmed earlier this afternoon. The H5N1 strain was detected in wild chickens at Fawlty Will. The RSPB is advising against feeding wild birds if you own poultry, but says the risk to humans is extremely low. Turning now to international news, Downing Street has suggested there'll be no investigation into MPs being blackmailed unless evidence is produced. The claims were started by Conservative Chair of the Commons Committee, William Rugg, who's called on Boris Johnson to quit. An offshoot of Omicron has been designated a COVID variant under investigation. The UK Health Security Agency says the number of cases of BA2 is currently low and not classed as a variant of concern. And a British doctor has been shot and killed in the US by a stray bullet. Police in Atlanta say the death of Matthew Wilson, who is 31 and from Surrey, was caused by the reckless discharge of a firearm. Those are your update news headlines next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Dry and often cloudy today, just a few bright or sunny intervals. There was a light to moderate west or northwest wind and a maximum temperature of around 9 degrees Celsius. Largely cloudy and mainly dry this weekend with moderate west or southwest winds and temperatures reaching 8 or 9 degrees Celsius. Remaining settled but often cloudy for the start of next week, but turning more unsettled around midweek. Sunset today was at 4:37, sunrise tomorrow 21 minutes past 8.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online, manxglass.com.
And here with the latest COVID-19 statistics is Christian Jones.
Tell us your opinion on the news. Email update at manxradio.com or text 166177.
The number of active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man has fallen to 822. The latest figures released by the government show 8 people have been identified to have the virus following a positive PCR test, while an additional 84 have reported positive lateral flow tests. A combined 92 new infections were recorded yesterday. 10 people who have the virus are currently in Nobles Hospital, however none are in intensive care. From next week on Tuesday, walk-in clinics will be available at various locations across the island. And mandatory mask wearing on public transport and health and social care settings in the Isle of Man is being scrapped. Government has confirmed there will be no legal requirement to wear one as of tomorrow.
The Isle of Man has a second outbreak of avian influenza. The H5N1 strain's been detected in wild chickens at Fawlty Will after 5 birds were found dead. They died from the same virus strain which killed 11 geese in Sulby last week. Dr. Amy Beckett's the Chief Veterinary Officer.
It was reported to us earlier in the week, and we sent carcasses off to the UK for sampling, and unfortunately it's come back as a confirmed case of high pathogenic avian influenza. Unfortunately, a number of the birds are sick on site, so due to welfare reasons, disease control and public health, we have decided to cull the rest of the colony.
So obviously this is the second outbreak. Do we believe, obviously, that the first outbreak is linked to the second outbreak effectively?
I think it's unlikely to be linked, as in it's unlikely that the birds on the first holding have spread it to these wild birds. It will be wild birds that have spread it to both. It's unlikely to be the same birds. It's likely that we have a number of wild migratory birds that have spread the virus to the island, and thus the spread has occurred from there.
What steps can people take to protect themselves and their animals?
So the main steps that they can take is to house their birds and prevent them coming into contact with wild birds and things that may be contaminated by wild birds. So anything with bird droppings on, so keeping their feed and bedding undercover and away from wild birds. They shouldn't be moving birds around the island, and that will help to stop any spread. And good biosecurity, so disinfecting boots when they go into their bird houses, etc., will help.
Ending the legal requirement to make people who have COVID-19 self-isolate is inevitable, according to the island's health minister. This week, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson revealed he plans to drop isolation regulations from March 23rd, if not before, replacing them with advice and guidance instead. It's not yet clear if the island will follow the same timescale for the change. However, it's something Laurie Hooper says will have to be considered.
I think it's inevitable to say that at some point the isolation requirements would have to go, because we don't require that for people for any other really widely known disease. It's very much dealt with on a specific case-by-case basis. And so having a nationwide mandate in place for a disease that says actually when you test positive, you will isolate, at some point that has to go. That will inevitably have to disappear. The question really for us, and I think for the UK as well, is when is the right time for that to happen? Because part of that obviously is tied in with your testing strategy and your testing approach, because there's no real purpose in mass testing if actually you're not going to be putting people into that isolation, saying let's make you isolate if we know you're a positive case or not. And if it does become more about personal management, then I think we need to start talking on the Isle of Man about, well, how do you deal with that in terms of people being off work sick or people making the choice to stay home when they're ill rather than feeling like they have to go to work. It opens up a massive can of worms, I think, in that kind of broader context.
It's a sentiment echoed by the Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart, who says there will also come a time when asymptomatic people, that's people with no symptoms, are no longer required to test themselves as a matter of course.
I think that is a point that we will reach, because what is likely to happen with COVID, with the coronavirus, it's not going to go away, but it will become endemic. So it will continue to be around. It will continue to potentially to find pockets of susceptible people and cause, you know, little outbreaks. And once we get to that kind of position, we will obviously be dealing with it in a different way, probably more analogous to how we deal with flu, where obviously we don't do or push routine testing for asymptomatic people. When that will happen is the thing that I wouldn't like to put a date on yet.
The Department of Enterprise has been ordered to release information about whether the former chief minister benefited from COVID schemes. A Freedom of Information request submitted in June last year asked if Howard Quayle, as owner of multiple holiday cottages, had claimed financial support. This report from Tessa Hawley.
The request asked the department to declare whether Mr. Quayle received any money for the properties between the 1st of April 2020 and the 16th of June 2021. It also sought clarification on whether details of any and all public money received had been declared on the Register of Financial Interests, and if he'd offered to repay the DOE any or all of the taxpayer-funded grant assistance. The FOI request related to all COVID support schemes, including the Coronavirus Strategic Capacity Scheme, which covered tourism accommodation affected by reduced footfall. Responding to the initial request, the Department for Enterprise refused to provide the information, claiming exemptions. However, following a review of that decision, the Information Commissioner says the DfE was wrong to do that and he was satisfied that it had the information sought. The Commissioner, Ian McDonald, says the DfE was not justified in applying the exemption and had a predetermined decision to apply an exemption and withhold the information. He added the department has shown a blasé approach to complying with its statutory obligations under the Freedom of Information Act. The DfE has been given 30 days to disclose the information it holds relating to the tourism support scheme and Mr. Quayle. It will have to establish if he received funds of any other kind and if the department does wish to apply for another exemption, this time explain why.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree is due to arrive into Douglas very soon at around 10 to 6. Then it will turn around with the return sailing to Heysham due to depart at 7:45.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
More than 100 people have applied for the new payment for local residents unable to work while isolating with COVID-19. Applications opened last Friday for the Manx Isolation Payment, which provides a £300 lump sum. Treasury Minister David Ashford.
So the uptake so far as of today has actually been 119 applications have been awarded. So there's been 119 people that have been received to the isolation payment.
Is that higher or lower or where you're expected?
It was very, very difficult to predict because obviously it's reliant on how many people may have COVID at any one time, but also there are certain conditions around the isolation payment. So if someone is in receipt of more than half their ordinary salary, then they don't qualify for the isolation payment. And many people actually with the jobs that they have do have sick pay in place. So it was always going to be a figure that could potentially move. But the encouraging thing is that people know that the isolation payment is there if they need it, and people are coming forward and claiming it.
We've seen that the R rate on the island is falling this week in the surveillance report. We know that measures are changing all the time. How long is this kind of support going to be necessary?
So it's a wait and see. We've always said, and I said when this was announced, that we would keep the situation monitored. While there are restrictions and isolation in place, it is appropriate to have some sort of mechanism to help those, particularly on low incomes, that may suffer a detriment because they can't work. But obviously, as things fall away, and I've said this before, including isolation, then that will be reviewed.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Hospice Isle of Man's raised more than £14,000 through the Christmas tree collection and recycling service, a figure it claims is a record high. Over 780 trees were collected with a total weight of 10,100 kilograms being shredded and turned into compost. UCM's announced applications for further education are now open. The college is holding an open event on Saturday, February 12th at their Homefield Road campus in Douglas. UK retail sales sank 3.7% in December from the month before as the spread of Omicron deterred shoppers from visiting the high street. Data from the UK's Office for National Statistics also showed a 7.1% fall in clothing and other non-food sales. However, last month's figures followed a strong November amid reports there would be some shortages in the run-up to Christmas. And while food sales fell by 1%, volumes were above pre-pandemic levels. A £1 billion shortfall in state pension payments to tens of thousands of women in the United Kingdom has been branded a shameful shambles by a committee of MPs. A total of 134,000 pensioners missed out on their full entitlement owing to errors at the Department for Work and Pensions dating back to 1985. Some of those failures risk being repeated during a correction programme, the Public Accounts Committee said. The DWP said it was resolving cases as quickly as possible.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Netflix suffered a horror show as its shares lost a fifth of their value after the latest subscriber numbers disappointed Wall Street. The streaming service added 8.3 million customers in the last 3 months of 2021, short of the 8.5 million that the company had targeted, despite a heavy lineup of new releases such as Don't Look Up and Red Notice. Netflix did enjoy a strong growth through lockdowns as more people stayed at home in front of the TV, watching hits such as The Crown and Bridgerton, picking up 37 million customers in 2020. Last year, only 18 million were added, the slowest annual pace of growth for 5 years. It took the total number to just under 222 million. UK and European markets closed sharply lower, tracking a global pullback for risk assets. US stocks were on track to end a volatile week lower, with investors rotating further away from growth and technology stocks that had outperformed early on during the pandemic. Oil prices fell, pressured by an unexpected rise in US crude and fuel inventories, while investors took profits after global oil benchmarks touched seven-year highs this week. And gold rose as inflation and geopolitical risks underpinned its safe haven appeal. At the markets, at the close, FTSE 100, 7494, that's down 1.2%. The DAX 15603, that's down 1.94%. The Dow Jones 34712, that's down 0.01%. And the NASDAQ 14050, that's down 0.75%. Exchange rates, the pound against the dollar 1.355 and against the euro 1.194. Gold $1,833, that's down 0.26%. And Brent, $87.56, that's up 0.16%.
Dad!
Hello, son. How's things?
Great. I've been taking your advice.
That's a first.
It's true. I've started investing monthly with Shearwater ESG.
Good for you. But what's ESG?
It's a new option that lets me invest in what I care about, like our planet and sustainability. So I'm not just improving my future, but my kids too.
Maybe I should take your advice.
Make a difference with Shearwater ESG from Ramsay Crookall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Largely cloudy and mainly dry. Sea temperature 10 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, the wind west or southwest 3 or 4, occasionally 5. Maximum air temperature 9 degrees. Wind chill temperature 5. Wave height 0.3 to 0.8 metres. The wave period 3.5 to 4 seconds. And high tide is at 5 to 2 in the afternoon. Sunday, southwest 3 or 4, occasionally 5 in terms of wind. Maximum air temperature 8, wind chill 4. The wave height 0.4 to 0.9 metres. The wave period 3.5 to 4 seconds. And high tide at 2:38 in the afternoon.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Shaw's plans for a 15-metre-high telecoms mast in Woodburn Lane were overturned this week after appeals from Douglas Council and residents were upheld. Local Democracy reporter Sarah Hendy reports.
It was said the mast would have an adverse effect on the character of the area, meaning it did not comply with the island's strategic plan in terms of conservation. It means that currently, planning is only required when such imposing structures are built in a conservation area. Councillor Falk Horning disagrees with that policy.
During the pandemic, Shure has put up a mast in the Governor's Hill area. And because it was deemed to be on an overriding national need, or some similar wording like that, they didn't even need a planning application and they just could put it up.
On that basis, are you thinking that perhaps planning should be needed for the erection of all masts on the island?
If you're talking about structures that are 15 metres high, yes, absolutely. Mast sharing should have really been encouraged from the outset. So there is a strategic plan policy that says whenever possible, operators should look into mast sharing. And it hasn't been fully explored. There was an area of having multiple smaller installations. For example, they could have had antennas on lampposts and they didn't fully explore that. For example, the Douglas Borough Council was never approached with a detailed plan how that could be made feasible.
So there is an alternative then?
Quite likely, yes. It might not be commercially as affordable, but it's certainly worth exploring. It would probably mean that there would be multiple installations throughout the area, probably much smaller installations.
We've had a number of messages in from listeners asking when the temporary mast is due to be taken down. Do you have any answers to that?
No, the council has brought that to the planning enforcement's attention And we have tried for many months to get that resolved, but unfortunately it comes down to planning enforcement. So the council can only lobby that something gets done.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company, the island's only award-winning motor dealer. Find your perfect vehicle today at rexmotorcompany.im.
Fast Am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast Am I, good evening. The fan zone expected to be in place for this year's TT will give greater access for spectators. That's according to Fan Zone and TT podcast host Chris Pritchard, with preparations continuing for the racing festival later this year.
First and foremost, it's going to involve a chance for fans to be able to hopefully get a lot closer to the riders than before. The most important thing is being able to engage with the fans on that daily basis, bringing them close to the riders. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of meet and greets. They're going to be able to ask the riders questions, and the live TV broadcasting will be filmed there as well.
A huge fixture for FC Isle of Man this weekend as they face Cheadle Town on Saturday night at the Bowl. A win for the Ravens could propel them to third in the table if other results go their way. However, FC Isle of Man's assistant manager Lee Dixon warns their opponents are no pushovers.
Cheadle don't play like many other teams in the league. They're very, very direct. They're very good at what they do. They just put pressure on you in the last third of the pitch by kicking balls long. They've got a good centre forward, and you've got to be on right at it on the day to compete all over the pitch.
And in rugby, with pre-Christmas competitions now decided, tomorrow sees the start of one of two new competitions getting underway. Two clashes await in the Ravenscroft Manx Cup, as it's currently known, this Saturday, with Ramsey hosting Southern Nomads and Vagabonds at home to Douglas Celts. Dave Christian reports.
Ramsey not at full strength tomorrow, missing a few. Ramsey having to do a little bit of a shuffle around to get a side out, and they don't have too much cover for the front row. Southern Nomads been a little while since they've had a game. They're going to be a tad on the rusty side, but they're also well rested and fit and free from injury. The Celts have struggled to get a side out, so depending on what personnel are available, they may well give Vagabonds a good game. On the other hand, Vagabonds could be at full strength and may well make life very, very tough for Douglas Celts.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
All flight arrivals showing on time. The Manchester landed around 15 minutes ago. Gatwick is due at 25 past 7, with Liverpool's EasyJet showing as 5 to 8, and Loganair also from Speak at 10 past 8. The same for departures. Loganair's Liverpool is due to go at 10 past 6. Gatwick is leaving at 5 to 8, and the last flight leaving the island at 25 past 8 heading to Liverpool. That's the EasyJet 638. Moving on to the roads, and starting in Douglas and Empire Terrace and the bottom end of Palace Road, closed for resurfacing. Harcroft Road is closed at the junction of Bluffton Manor Hill. Heading north, and King Edward Road between Groudle and the Liverpool Arms has temporary traffic lights, so there could be delays along there. The bottom end of Minorca Hill, Laxey, is closed between Glen Road and Lower Cronkorry. To the west, temporary lights at the Bleera Road junction in Kirkmichael. There are temporary lights at Bagarrow Bridge, while further south there are lights at Greba near the Highlander St Trinian's.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre Club Card has over £400 worth of saving for your whole family. Get more with Quayside.
The world of music's mourning the passing of the singer Meatloaf. He was 74 and had been ill for some time. The American rock legend will always be remembered in the Isle of Man for the performance he gave at a concert held at the Bowl during TT 1990. Former Douglas Borough Council leader David Christian was one of the many thousands there.
I was travelling back home this morning when I heard on the morning show when Ben was playing I'd Do Anything for Love, and he said that the news had just come out that Meatloaf had passed away, still at a very young age. So it is very sad, but he's leaving some fantastic music behind, and music that will be remembered and played for many years to come.
Of course, Meatloaf famously played the Isle of Man, I think it was TT 1990, and you were involved.
He most certainly did, yes. In 1990, a private promoter contacted the council, and I was a member of the Entertainment and Publicity Committee at that time, and all the negotiations took place. The concert was held down in the Bowl Stadium, now the National Football Stadium, and it was an absolutely fantastic night. There was no other way to put it. Unfortunately, the capacity was only about half full because many people realised that they could sit along Peel Road on the walls and hear the whole concert and not have to pay the ticket price to get in. So that was a bit disappointing, but we always said to those people afterwards, you missed a fantastic show. The atmosphere in the bowl was the best I've ever seen any sort of concert and anything that's ever been held on the Isle of Man. I mean, it truly was electric. He did not stop from the minute he came on that stage till the minute he went off. He really gave the audience what they wanted, and I would say even more than that. So an absolutely fantastic concert.
I seem to remember as well, he bonded very well with everyone at the Town Hall.
He most certainly did, yes. He came through to the Town Hall for a visit. Our mayor at the time was Councillor Roy Kane, and his mayoress, and also our deputy mayor was Tim Doherty, and his wife was the deputy mayoress. And he really did. He loved the whole atmosphere of the Town Hall. I think some people sometimes come along and look around the place, can feel a bit intimidated by it. But he didn't. He wanted to know the history of it. He got on very well with everybody that he met in the Town Hall, whether it was the mayor and the deputy mayor and councillors, or whether it was the staff. He spoke to everybody. Thoroughly enjoyed his visit, and then after the concert he invited members and some of the officers over to the Villa Marina for a bit of a drinking session afterwards, should I say, to celebrate his visit to the island.
And that was good fun, I would imagine.
It most certainly was. It was a very lively, I must admit, because, of course, the whole night you were just singing the songs that you'd heard down at the concert. But I would say it was definitely one of the best concerts that's been held on the Isle of Man. And it was a shame that we never, ever got him back to the island, because I think he would have played to a full capacity. Because I think there was people who stayed outside of the grounds of the bowl who truly felt afterwards, I would have loved to have been inside, been part of that, really felt it. But I even spoke to people who were living up as far as Annika, and they were sitting on the fields, on Groves Road playing fields, and listened to the concert from that sort of distance. So, of course, if you didn't have to pay a ticket, they did manage to hear it.
That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones and the rest of the news team for producing. If you have a comment on the news agenda, have a story you think we should be covering, or just want to say hello from near or far, email update@manxradio.com. The stories you've heard on this update and much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts, and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. Like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. That's it. Have a great weekend.